Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
He told him, okay, but if you're going to sin, then be ready if Malik al-Maut, the angel of death, comes to you, that you overpower him and you tell him, wait.
Ummah Ibrahim ibn Adham, a man came to him. He said, it's too difficult for me. Give me permission to sin. Such a strange question, right? He's telling a sheikh, an alim, a scholar, a zahid, give me permission, give me authority, say it's okay for me to sin. And as strange as that sounds, wallahi, that happens today, every day. We get people, brother, find me a way to make it halal to do a birthday party, because I want to do a birthday party. Akhi, there's no such thing as birthday parties in Islam. It's a pagan festival about lighting candles and worshipping the moon god. It's got nothing to do with it. Brother, find me a way. What do you mean find your way? There's no way. Brother, Sheikh Fulan said it's okay. Well then, that's between you and Sheikh Fulan and the Day of Judgment. You know it's haram. Brother, I want to go to a Christmas party. Make it okay for me. I want to buy a house with interest. Make it okay for me. What? So this man, he came to Ibrahim ibn Adham and he said, make it halal for me to sin. So Ibrahim ibn Adham wanted to teach him a lesson. He told him, okay, let's talk about it. He said, if you're going to sin, and next time you're tempted to sin, think about this. He said, do it on a piece of earth that does not belong to Allah. The location should not be from Allah. The man said, how? The entire world is for Allah. He said, then don't you feel ashamed sinning and you're on the land of Allah? He said, okay. If not, that day, don't eat the rizq that Allah has given you. If you're going to sin, don't eat rizq that Allah has given you. And the man said, oh, all the rizq is from Allah. He said, then don't you feel ashamed eating the rizq that Allah has given you and disobeying Allah? He said, okay, then go do it somewhere, your sin, go do it in a place that Allah doesn't see you. Man said, how? Allah sees you everywhere. He said, then don't you feel shy to sin and Allah sees you? He told him, okay, but if you're going to sin, then be ready if Malik al-Maut, the angel of death, comes to you, that you overpower him and you tell him, wait, not yet, let me go make tawbah. The man said, nobody can stop Malik al-Maut. He said, then aren't you afraid that you will be sinning and Malik al-Maut will take your life in that sin? He said, if you're going to sin, then be ready that if the malaika, the angels are throwing you in the hellfire, that you will fight them off and free yourself. The man said, nobody can do that. He said, then aren't you afraid that your sin will lead you to be thrown in that hellfire? See, think about that. My respected brothers and sisters in Islam, we are in a test. Sometimes we... Can you bring those young kids up? Allah, young brothers in the back? Yes, you guys. Yeah, the brother with the... Yeah. Brother with the sweatshirt right there. Yeah. Can you bring all those young guys up here? Up. All of you guys. Yes, black shirt, white thobe, up. Yeah, up here. Yes. All the young guys? No, I want you guys to come up, not stay there. Get up, up. I'm not gonna continue until you get up. Get up, in the black shirt. Yes, you, get up. Yes, and everybody next to you, get up. All of you guys come up. It's Jummah khutbah, it's not something you can talk through. You think I'm not gonna stop you? Get up. All of you guys, yes, your friend too, get up and come up here. And I'm not gonna go on until you do. I got time. If anybody complains about the khutbah being late, you can blame it. Jummah khutbah is a ibadah. It's a worship. It's not a time you can catch up. If we look at the test that we are in, we don't realize the test we're in. Our brothers and sisters in Gaza, in Palestine, our brothers and sisters in Kashmir, our brothers and sisters around the world, from Sudan to Bangladesh to Afghanistan to China, they're struggling. But the reality is that our test is harder than theirs. They are being tested with bombs falling on their heads. They are being tested. Imagine the test that they're writing the names of their children on their hands in case they get buried, to know our baby to be taken out of rubble. But in that hardship, they're praying. And we're sitting here in this comfort, missing our salah. In that massacre that they're being patient to, they're thanking Allah. And we are unthankful of Allah with everything we have. In that heart-wrenching condition with no food and no water and no electricity and no knowledge of whether you're gonna have a drone dropped on you or a bomb dropped, in that condition, on the rubble, on the crumbled buildings, they're making salah and jama'ah. And look at us. Nah, there's a really good TV show I can't miss. Nah, my friends wanna go hang out, I can't make it for Jummah today. Nah, I got a class. Nah, man, I don't want people to know my name. I'm gonna go by Sam, I'm gonna go by Mo, I'm gonna go by Joe. Who's failing? Us, not them. You know, one of the great scholars of the past, Abu Hazim ibn Dinar, one of the Khulafa, one of the Muslim leaders, rulers, asked him. He said, why is it that the Sahaba, they weren't afraid of death? And they didn't care about this dunya. And today, we're afraid of death and we love the dunya. So Abu Hazim, he was an alim, a scholar, a person of knowledge. He wasn't afraid to speak the truth. Like today, everybody just wants to kiss up to people. So he told him, you know what? Those Sahaba and early scholars of Islam and early Muslims, what did they do? They gave up this dunya for the akhirah. So they didn't care about this dunya. They ruined it to build their akhirah. So the one who wants to go will go to the place that's beautified, that's built. He said, but you have destroyed your akhirah to build your dunya. So of course you don't want to leave that which you've built. But the reality is, we're all going to leave this life. Nobody's going to stay here forever. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. You know, Urwa ibn Zubayr. Urwa, the son of Zubayr ibn Awam, the brother of Abdullah ibn Zubayr, the great. And Zubayr ibn Awam is from the 10 given the black padding of Jannah. And his mother is Asma bint Abi Bakr, the daughter of Abu Bakr, the sister of Aisha radiallahu anha. So imagine what kind of a household when your father's a Zubayr and your mother's Asma. Urwa, this is the ones that we should look up to. Many of you may not even know who he is. At one time, he had to have his leg amputated. Allah tested him. The physicians, the doctors of the time, the Muslims, they told him, look, you have a disease in your leg, we've got to cut it off. And they didn't have anesthesia at the time. No painkillers. So they said, the only way you can numb the pain is if you drink alcohol. It numbs your senses. And they gave him all kinds of fatwa, it's okay, if the pain is too much, and this, and darura, and this. He said, how can I be in front of Allah in a state that I'm not remembering Allah, that I'm drunk? What if death comes to me? He says, no, amputate my leg without any alcohol, no anesthesia. Imagine the pain of getting your leg amputated and you're fully awake, fully aware of your senses. Today, if you poke your little pinky with a prick, you're like, oh, God, and start cussing. And during the time that he's getting his leg cut, he's making the dhikr of Allah, he's reading Quran, he's calm. On the same day, imagine, the same day that he got his leg cut off, they told him, your young son was playing and a horse trampled him. A horse trampled your child. The same day you had your leg cut off, your child died. Imagine how impatient, how horribly we would react to that. Why me? Why does this happen to me? Where is Allah? Where is the mercy? I just lost my leg and my young child died. But look at the difference in attitude of those that were successful and people like us.